Hello there, Peanuts Book fans and government agents investigating the Peanuts Book fan conspiracy. Welcome to the Og Blog Podcast, an online audio entertainment that is curiously focused on the printed works created or inspired by Charles M. Schulz. I'm your host, Nat Gertler, the Og Blogger, the dude with over 1,000 Peanuts and Peanuts-related books in his reference library. I want to start with a quick follow-up to the previous episode of this podcast. Now, you may recall that Og Blogger brother JJ had memories of Peanuts cookbook going through some sort of a recall due to a problem with the recipe for Lucy's Lemon Lollipops. Since then, he's managed to find a reminiscence on the internet from someone who recalls, if not precisely that, something parallel to it. In a posting from a few years back, they said that the second time the book was offered, it included a sticker covering up the Lucy's Lemon Lollipop recipe, with rumors about some kids having drunk the lemon extract, which, as I noted before, is about 80% alcohol. So perhaps there are just copies out there with a sticker that excised the alcohol-laden recipe altogether, but I've still never seen one. If you have one, let me know. But discussing that got me thinking about not just Peanuts Cookbook, but all of the Peanuts cookbooks. The Peanuts Gang, I don't like using that term. In modern parlance, gang is almost always to denote a criminal and violent group. I really doubt that the Peanuts Gang ever fought the Crips in blood for territory. Anyway, the Peanuts characters, shall we say, have played host to a number of cookbooks over the years. Peanuts Cookbook was the first and probably the most lasting. It's been reprinted in the last decade in English, Spanish, and apparently Japanese, but it certainly wasn't the last. Peanuts Cookbook was written by June Dutton and published by Determined Productions. Now, those two facts are related. June's sister, Connie Boucher, was the publisher of the Determined line. This 1969 book was not the first cookbook that Dutton had written for her sister's company. 2 years before, a book of hors d'oeuvre recipes called simply Hors d'oeuvre had come out. The book is very nice in format, with recipes well laid out on the left-hand page of each spread, matched with food-related peanut strips on the right-hand side. The color scheme is a vivid pink and green. A somewhat less fluorescent color sense was used on the book's 1970 follow-up, Peanuts Lunch Bag Cookbook. This book is more explicitly aimed at kids, with a safety guide up front telling the reader what adult help they may need. It's all stuff meant to be taken to school in your lunch bag, mostly sandwiches, some salads and sides. No alcohol involved, that I can see. Dutton's third Peanuts cookbook, over a decade later from 1981, is Great Pumpkin Cookbook. I keep feeling the need to put a "the" in front of these titles, but it isn't there. This is not the Great Pumpkin Cookbook, it's just a Great Pumpkin Cookbook. This is, unsurprisingly, a Halloween-themed set of recipes, with sections on beverages, breads, cakes and frostings, cookies, pies and crusts, puddings and cobbler. And then it stops putting the sections in alphabetic order, because after that, candies, then ice cream, then other treats. And just staring at them, I begin to have a suspicion why. The first of those non-alphabetic sections begins on page 95. I bet they were planning on making a 96-page book, and late in the game, after some of the layout was already done, decided to make the book a third longer, 128 pages. So I started thinking that the earlier books had probably been 96 pages, and that they planned to copy that. And having that suspicion, I go to investigate. I check the page numbering on Peanuts Cookbook, and I discovered something that is bizarre, at least to a book guy. The first page with a page number on it says it's page 10. It is the eighth page of the book. The only way that makes sense is if you count the front cover as a page, which almost makes sense in terms of the physical production of the book, as there is a sheet of paper that is glued to the hardcover as a way of producing the book. But counting that in your page numbering count for the book just isn't done. The cover is not a page. I should note that this expanded page count does go along with the other Peanuts books that Determined was issuing around then. They are reworked versions of some of the books in the Happiness is a Warm Puppy series, expanded out to 128 pages with full color art. So I guess that they were aiming for 128 in general. Anyway, Great Pumpkin Cookbook doesn't have any strips in it. Each page is paired with a single full color Peanuts image, much as in those revised Happiness is a Warm Puppy books. And those images each have a line of dialogue on them. So really, if you took out the recipes and switched the images to the right-hand page, you'd have a warm puppy type book. But they chose a really cold set of fonts to do it all in. It is clearly highly designed, but one of the least attractive determined production books to the eye. Dutton's final Peanuts book from 1982 makes the interesting choice not to announce itself as a cookbook. The title is Snoopy and the Gang Out West. The cover doesn't show any cooking, but it's part of what is cool about this book. It's a diorama shot of Snoopy and Woodstock hanging out at a cactus, all staged with stuffed animals. Remember, Determined Productions wasn't just in the Peanuts book business, they were also in the Peanuts stuffed business, selling both figures and outfits to dress them up in. Anyway, the illustrations for this book are a mixture of Peanuts drawings, not pure Schultz it looks like, but touched up or reworked Schultz, a few strips, and some more of these diorama photos. The recipes are focused on foods of the American cowboy and the American West in general. And it's not just recipes, there are guides on how to make a cooking fire, a barbecue pit, or a bean hole. Pages on cowboy life, even the end papers are maps of historic cattle trails. Dutton, who would also write some non-cooking children's books and some non-children cookbooks, died back in 2016. But Dutton wasn't the only person to write cookbooks for Determined Productions. No, there was one book written by Dr. Evelyn Shaw. Dr. Shaw, Professor Shaw, if you went to Stanford, seems to have been an interesting person. She was both a zoologist, and she entered biology at a time when there weren't a whole lot of women entering that field, and had a popular catering company with her second husband, Frederick Wertheim. And here I need to pause and make this clear for fellow comic book history buffs. I am not saying Frederick Wertheim. I'm not talking about the father of comic book censorship. Wertheim, different guy. So what kind of cookbook do you get from someone who is both a zoologist and a caterer? Not one for humans, it turns out. The Snoopy Doghouse Cookbook. Yes, this one does start with a the. The Snoopy Doghouse Cookbook is subtitled 59 Recipes for Your Dog. Now don't worry, this isn't like 59 Recipes for Chicken, and you won't find Poodle au Gratin or Mutt Loaf. But disappointingly, it's not like 59 Recipes for Children. It isn't recipes that your dog can cook for you. Instead, it's recipes for you to make meals for your dogs. Published in 1979, in it you'll find such unlikely dog meals as macaroni and cheese, tuna casserole, and even chicken with matzah, in case your chihuahua celebrates Passover, I suppose. It does have the same font problems as Great Pumpkin Cookbook, arguably even worse because there are some mechanically drawn word balloons and thought balloons that are just plain horrible. Oh, and Dr. Shaw also worked as a consultant for the Exploratorium in San Francisco. And those of you who are from the Bay Area probably know that's actually a pretty cool place. Taking the kids there before, they have a good time. That's not the last Food for Your Dog cookbook, by the way. 2012 saw the release of Snoopy's Organic Dog Biscuit Cookbook Kit, which was a box set of a book and three biscuit cutters. And I have a number of things to note about it. Number one, while the cover says that the book is by, quote, Snoopy and the Bubba Rose Biscuit Company, end quote, is all written from the point of view of the company. The text does have reference to Snoopy helping select the recipes and offer suggestions, but anyone seeking deathless prose from the author of It Was a Dark and Stormy Night and other such volumes will be sorely disappointed. Number two, the book proclaims over 25 recipes, which is accurate, but it only has 25 recipes for dog biscuits. The other two recipes are for icing that goes on dog biscuits. Still, 25 is certainly more than enough to liven up your pooch's snack time. Number three, each recipe page has either a daily peanut strip on the theme of Snoopy and eating, or half of a sundae with the other half on the next page. Number four, each biscuit recipe has something that I'm sure made the editor of this book flinch. That's because the last sentence on each is open parentheses, for additional options, comma, read the open quote storage tips, close quote, section, period. That's right, fellow copy editors. The sentence is missing the closing parentheses. It's one thing to have an error. It's another thing, and quite simple to do in these days of electronic search and replace, to have the same error 25 times. I understand missing it. I also guarantee that it was the very first thing that the editor saw once a final non-proof copy of the book landed on their desk. Well, maybe the second, after seeing, this product was developed by Appleseed Press Book Publishers LLC on the copyright page. Number five, overall the design of this book and the box is actually quite nice. I like the use of the red and aqua colors. The end paper design, the placement of images, all quite good. So here's a small round of applause for book designer Jessica Disbrow Talley. Number 6. The back of the box has the first half of a Sunday strip on it, which is kind of an odd choice. And in fact, it's much like 3nuts.com. That's the number 3, EANUTS.com. A website that once a week runs a peanut strip with the final panel removed, thus carrying the demented and depressing parts of the strip without including a punchline. In this strip, Charlie Brown gets irritated about how he never gets thanks for feeding the dog, and due to running just half the strip, he simply stays mad. Number 7. The solicitation promised adorable cookie or biscuit cutters in the shape of a doghouse and the Peanuts characters. It was close to correct. There's one in the shape of a doghouse, one in the shape of a Peanuts character, Snoopy's head, and one in a generic biscuit shape. There are no generic biscuit-shaped Peanuts characters. Number 8. Are the recipes any good? Danged if I know. I'm not a dog. I don't even have a dog. And just to prevent the sort of thing that occasionally happens when I make such a remark on the blog, I do not wish to have a dog. Please do not mail me a dog. Number 9. As for the organic part of the title, well, aren't all recipes organic if you use the organic version of the ingredients? At times, the book bothers to call for, say, organic eggs. At other times, it doesn't bother. It just asks for yams rather than organic yams. But off the top of my head, I can't think of any recipe book that wasn't calling for specific brands, you know, such as if he's got a General Mills cookbook, they would call for specific brands. But where they just list ingredients, I can't think of any recipe where it took any more to make the results organic than to obtain the organic versions of the ingredients. But then I don't seek out any organic ingredients myself. If any organic head out there wants to correct me on this, send me a note. Now, the U.S. is not the only place where Peanuts cookbooks come to be. Japan has had some. And in some of the examples that I have, they're used as an excuse to cover American cooking. So Snoopy Casual Restaurant covers soups, sandwiches, pastas, pizzas, and snacks. For emulating a casual restaurant, the food is presented in a very pretty manner. In fact, making the food photogenic sometimes trumps making the food practical. For example, you really shouldn't put ketchup on the outside of your hot dog bun. Oh, and then there's Snoopy American Sweets. When I ordered it, I was intrigued by the cover, which has photos of donuts surrounding Snoopy. As a recipe book, they're using questionable definitions of both American and sweets. I mean, there are odd-looking desserts here that I do not recognize at all as an American. And much of the book focuses on pancakes and waffles. The book Sitting Together, Eating Together has one advantage for the American book purchaser that all my other Japanese cookbooks lack. It has the recipes in both Japanese and English. This one doesn't aim for American cooking, with recipes for sushi ball, baby spring rolls, barbecue pork rice balls, and Thai-style pork and corn fritters. Their English is usually good, maybe a little stiff, but there is one section curiously titled, Boys Be Ambitious. So I'll have to flag that one. If I had to pick the most interesting Peanuts cookbook, I'd probably go with an unobvious candidate, the Women's Sports Foundation's cookbook. This is a cookbook that was put out in 1983 to support the Women's Sports Foundation. Well, I guess you probably could have guessed that. They're a group founded in 1974 that's still around, supporting sports for women and women in sports. It was founded by Schultz's friend Billie Jean King, and he was one of the group's trustees. And while it may not sound like a Peanuts cookbook, it is. The front cover has a drawing of Snoopy, along with Charles Schultz's recipe for how to make and eat a bowl of cold cereal, with such notes as, cold cereal can be enjoyed late at night when feeling lonely and recalling your high school days. The back cover has a picture of Schultz and a history of his relationship to women's sports, and each new section of the book is decorated with a Snoopy illustration, original and genuine Schultz. Most of the recipes are provided by women's sports figures, so if you want Olympic champion sprinter Wilma Rudolph's recipe for, quote, dinner on the run, unquote, you'll find it. But there's also supportive male contributors, like non-sportsman Bob Hope providing, quote, Bob Hope's favorite chicken hash, unquote. Or sports figure like marathon record winner Bill Rogers, who tells us how to make chicken divan. And in the realm of those who weren't really supportive of women, there's a recipe for chili cheese souffle, contributed by O.J. Simpson. Let me end the coverage of this book on a more positive and peanutsy note. There are multiple recipes contributed by ice dancer Judy Sladke, who many of you will know better as the woman who disappears right before a giant Snoopy suddenly appears at public events. And this isn't a complete list of all the Peanuts cookbooks that already exist, but there are, in fact, more to come. In fact, On the Way in October is a book that was first announced as the Peanuts Munchtime Cookbook, but is now going to be the Peanuts Family Cookbook, featuring recipes that kids can make with their parents. Or other non-parental grown-ups, I suppose. Like other Peanuts cookbooks, it has recipes named after the characters. But in this case, I've got to give them extra points because they don't just go with the main cast. Sure, they have Linus's pigs in a blanket and Snoopy's fruit juice soda pop. But there's also Egg's Bad Call Benedict, Harold Angelfood Cake, and Cormac and Cheese. Them's deep cuts. I'll be sure to put an ordering link up for that on the blog entry for this episode. You can find the blog at blog.aug.com. That's AAUGH.com. And hey, do you know that when you click on an Amazon ordering link on the blog, and then on Amazon you order anything, it doesn't have to be the book that you click through on, you order anything, Amazon gives me a little chunk of change as a thank you for sending you their way. They don't charge you anymore, but they give me a little taste of your money. And that income, that really helps support this podcast. That helps me excuse spending all of that money on Peanuts books as research and all the time I spent recording this. So, you know, I've been doing this for about 10 months now, this podcast. Every week you've been getting an episode. And I promised myself I'd give it a full year at the very least and then see where I stand, try to figure out how big my audience is, whether it's worth continuing. So a little bit of money coming in, that helps. What would also help, though, if you want to help the podcast without spending money, tell your friends about it. Pick a favorite episode. Send them a link. If you think they'll like it, get the word out. The more people that like this podcast, the more worthwhile it is for me. So hopefully I'll get to continue doing this for a long time. Nothing helps quite as much as your direct word of mouth. And hey, if you have any other suggestions on how I might build the audience to this, or if you have any other comments about this episode, any of the episodes, things I should be doing on episodes, things I shouldn't be doing on episodes, just send them to questions@aug.com. And until next time, may your stomach clock never run fast. May your 7-minute frosting always run exactly on time. And may all your griefs be good ones.